The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, whether or not. Learn more at pivotbio.com. Welcome to Farming the Countryside. I'm Andrew McCray. Each year, the National Association of Farm Broadcasting holds its annual convention. This year's event was virtual, however, it still featured Trade Talk, a large gathering of ag-related businesses sharing what they have planned for the upcoming year. We'll take a look at what you can expect. It's our topic for this week's Farming the Countryside, and it's brought to you by Pivot BioProven. It's time to rethink nitrogen. Pivot BioProven replaces nitrogen fertilizer with microbes that adhere to the crop's root system and apply nitrogen each day. Performance report data shows Pivot BioProven consistently outperforms synthetic nitrogen fertilizer year over year, providing corn growers improved yields and a more dependable nitrogen supply that isn't lost to the environment. To read the performance report, go to pivotbio.com. And for more information on Pivot BioProven, text PROVEN to 31313. I've been attending the annual Farm Broadcasters Convention since 1997, but this is the first time I've not been in Kansas City for the event. Like so many similar conferences, this year's edition was held virtually. The biggest draw each year, at least in terms of sheer numbers of people, is something called Trade Talk, where agricultural companies bring in their experts to share their new products, ideas, and updates for the coming year. There are so many companies, it would be just about impossible for one person to get around to them all, so our staff usually tries to divide and conquer. What I have for you on this edition of our podcast are some of the quick interviews I did about what you can expect to see in 2021. A couple of notes I should share. In this case, I was given the company names randomly, so the folks you're going to hear from just happen to be my assignment to cover. So don't read anything into who you hear or don't hear. There are four on this podcast, and first up is Dr. Jason Nickel with Merck and Allflex talking about a better system to detect sickness in cattle earlier so as to provide better treatment opportunities. Dr. Jason Nickel joins me. He's manager of professional services, Allflex Livestock Intelligence. Jason, perhaps I should begin with livestock intelligence. What is livestock intelligence? You have a lot of background, not only in working with animals, but now we're trying to be predictive, it sounds like, in how we treat them.
Yeah, Andrew, and thanks for having me, first and foremost. Admittedly, this is a brand new space in beef cattle production. The dairy industry has been utilizing technology to this degree over the last decade or so. Those involved in row crop production have actually been utilizing technologies like this over the last 3 to 4 decades. And so for those of us engaged in beef production, we are a little bit late to the party, but we are beginning to implement these technologies that are geared toward bringing more information to the fingertips of the producer in real time with the sole objective of just allowing them to have more information to make better decisions at the end of the day, ultimately with the goal of bringing more value to their production system.
So let's talk about some of the specifics then. Perhaps we'll go to a backgrounding operation. How are we using livestock intelligence then to help us be able to better identify and treat those animals that need it?
Yeah, absolutely. In the post-weaning phase of beef production, bovine respiratory disease is the most prevalent disease syndrome that we see, by and large. There's other non-infectious issues that we deal with, but bovine respiratory disease, by and large, is number one. And what we have observed and recognize over a number of years in research is that as humans, we are not especially good at finding sick cattle and finding sick cattle early. That is, the bovine is a prey species, and their inclination when they get ill is to appear healthy. And so by doing that, they are very adept at concealing disease. And so we need more information, new technology to find those animals earlier and more accurately in the disease phase in order to have a better treatment outcome. And so we are working on two different pieces of technology, Andrew. one focused on incoming cattle, at predicting who's going to get sick and who is not, with the goal of deciding who to give metaphylactic antibiotics to and who to withhold those from. The value proposition there to be to reduce the cost of metaphylactic drug usage. Conversely, as those animals move into those pens and are spending their days there, there are some that are going to go on to get sick. And so by having technology that is monitoring those animals 24/7, we can find those animals earlier in the disease process, get a drug in those animals earlier, and give us a better treatment outcome.
Give folks an example. When you talk about technology, what types of technology are we talking about to help identify those animals in?
Yeah, and largely the hardware that they would see is by and large wearable technology. And so using the BRD example again, BRD detection, we would be using an ear tag that is capturing that animal's movement and body temperature throughout the day. It's taking all that data. It's utilizing what's called machine learning, which is a form of artificial intelligence on the backside in this. And then it's determining whether or not that animal is different from how it was in previous days, but also different from the rest of the animals in its group. And so if an animal is identified as being an outlier, then the user would get a prompt on his or her smartphone or get an email, whatever the case may be, telling you that this specific animal in this specific pen has been flagged, that needs some additional attention. There is a light on that animal's tag that would illuminate, that would allow the person to go out there and find that animal. And so it takes a lot of the guesswork out of the game. So instead of walking through pens and trying to find sick cattle, this is allowing, you know, the user to save time, you know, as well as finding those animals more accurately in the process.
Are you finding that return on investment, you know, technology, we can continue to bring the price down of technology, what once was too expensive? I'm guessing this must be applicable to lots of producers now.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it has to make sense. And, you know, every production system is different, depending upon their labor resources, depending upon the kind of animals that they buy, the time of year, you know, admittedly, you know, has a decision in that process. But in the situations where it does make sense, where, you know, the value is coming first and foremost from those labor savings, from the time saved in not having to walk pens or ride pens every day in this particular case, as well as a better treatment outcome, meaning that you see greater first treatment success. And in cases where that mortality number is a little bit too high, we can reduce that mortality just by simply identifying those animals earlier in the disease process by getting the right antibiotic in those animals early.
I don't want to neglect the cow-calf side, the breeding side. Why don't you talk briefly about what you've got going on over there?
Yeah, absolutely. And so on that side as well, Andrew, using wearable technology, again, in the form of an ear tag, but this time measuring animal activity and rumination, we are using that data to identify females who are in heat and utilizing that information generally in an artificial insemination setting or an embryo transfer setting and to find those animals that are truly in heat, breed those animals at that point in time, and, you know, provide us with an opportunity to, you know, reduce our reproductive hormone costs, to tighten our calving intervals, just allow us to bring more value to the production system in that matter.
What's the best way for producers to be able to find out more about all of this?
Yeah, I would encourage those interested to check out the website at MerckAnimalHealth.com. They'll begin to get some information there. I would also encourage them to reach out to their respective Merck Animal Health or Allflex sales representative. They can get them pointed in the right direction.
Let's move from livestock over to farm purchasing and even non-farm purchasing. I think all of us are looking for a deal. My next guest may be able to help you do just that. As Pat Driscoll will explain, the Certified Ag Dealers Program is expanding and providing more opportunities for those looking to make purchases such as pickup trucks and much, much more. I could explain more, but I'll let Pat talk about what you need to know so you can take advantage of a program that is now working with an ever-expanding list of companies. Pat Driscoll, who is CEO of Certified Ag Dealers, joins me. Pat, I know that we have visited before, but you have some changes in this program. It really reflects the expanding program you have, if you will. Why don't you talk a little bit about the expansion of the program?
It does. And we appreciate you guys having us on today as well, Andy. So, you know, the program from day one has been known as the Ram Agriculture Dealership Program. Going forward, rebranding it as the Certified Agriculture Dealership Program. And of course, a part of that is AgPAC, which is what we really want everybody to be aware of. But the rebranding reflects program growth, broadening into other brands, additional agriculture supply channels, beginning with Jeep. So not only will AgPAC be offered with the purchase of any Ram truck from a participating dealer, but beginning January 1st, farmers and ranchers will get AgPAC with the purchase of any new Jeep, Wrangler, or Gladiator model as well. And that's a recognition. We have the request come in frequently. Can I get this on my Jeep purchase? We know that those products are used on farms and ranches. And so we're broadening that out. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to be working with the folks at Ram Trucks any longer. Quite the opposite. They've been great to work with and want to continue making that commitment. But the desire and demand for what we do is growing. So you'll find us at the Ram dealers, find us at the Jeep dealers. You may be able to find us at some point in the near future at select Ford and Chevy stores too, as well as other farm and ranch suppliers that don't necessarily sell trucks. So that's I think the big news for us is that the program is growing. You're going to be able to find certified agriculture dealers and as a result, AgPAC in places where you couldn't find them before.
You know, I should probably back up for just a moment because while several people are familiar with this, if they don't know anything about AgPAC, why don't you tell them what that is? So what are they looking for and why is that important when they're out there shopping?
So what we'll do is share, first of all, certified agriculture dealerships, which is the only place you can get AgPAC. In order for a dealership to be a certified ag dealer, they've got to go through our proprietary training. Now, this is training, Andy, that we as farmers and ranchers and agribusiness people ourselves have built so that we're training stores that are suppliers to farms and ranches, but don't necessarily see themselves that way, more mainstream kind of retail operations, but who rely heavily on their agriculture business. So we created a training program. Three people from the dealership have to go through this training program in order for them to be certified, at least one each from sales, parts, and service. So no matter where the farm and ranch customer touches the store, they've always got an ag person that they can go to. So those three people complete their training to become a certified agriculture dealership. Very important for us. You know that. We want knowledgeable dealers. And if you're interested, I'm happy to explain what that training looks like. But for the sake of time, we'll move on. Once they become the certified ag dealer, they can offer AgPAC. AgPAC is this unique collaboration of several, I believe we're at 10 or 11 now, agricultural corporations that we require them to give us something very unique, not something you're going to find on the back page of the Farm Trade publication every day. Or, this is something that is unique in the space. You're not going to find anyplace else, but is also compelling, something that makes a difference in that farm and ranch operation. And all of our partners have stepped up. So when you buy a truck or you buy a Jeep or going forward, maybe even from suppliers that don't sell trucks or Jeeps, you buy from a certified ag dealer, you get AgPAC with that purchase. And that is a return on investment. There's almost $6,000 worth of exclusive rebates and discounts from Michelin and BF Goodrich tied to that. That's for tractor tires, skid steers, the airless tires that they have out now, truck tires, tractor trailer tires, whatever tires you need, it covers the entire Michelin BFG product line, AgroLiquid fertilizer, Gallagher livestock products, Rhino Ag equipment, Viasat. We just announced Viasat for rural satellite internet connectivity. These are all partners. And what we found is last year, on average, we saved the farm and ranch customer over $10,000 in operating expenses on average. That was real money that they were going to have to spend otherwise that they saved just because they bought a truck from an ag dealer. And that is a return on investment. $10,000 on a $50,000 truck is a 20% return on investment. You're only going to get that through a certified ag dealer.
So folks are going to wonder then, how do I connect with these people? Is there any cost to me? How do I get involved in the program?
There is no cost. There is no cost to the customer in the end. The beauty of how this works is that, one, you get this per truck. And as you know, a lot of the bigger operations especially have fleet accounts where they'll buy three or four trucks at a time. They get very specialized pricing for that fleet purchase. You get AgPak on top of the fleet. That's one of the biggest questions we get is, it's almost more of a statement. Well, if I get this, I'm going to have to give up my fleet. Nope, you don't. I'm going to have to give up the OEM's incentives that are out there. Nope, you don't. You get AgPak on top of all of that. So I want to clear that up right off the bat. And in order to find your nearest certified ag dealer, just go to certifiedagdealer.com. You can go to ramagdealer.com or chevyagdealer.com or fordagdealer.com, any of those, or Ram, Chevy, or fordagriculture.com. They're all going to take you back to certifiedagdealer.com. There's a searchable database there to show you your nearest certified ag dealer. There's also background on the program and a complete detailing of all of the AgPak partners and benefits that you get with that truck purchase. And it is per truck, not per customer, Andy. I think that's another important thing for folks to understand. If you're out there buying three or four trucks, you're going to get three or four ag packs with that. So that $6,000 in good or in Michelin farm rubber, that's going to be $18,000 if you buy three trucks, or $24,000 if you buy four trucks. It's per truck, not per customer.
Sounds like it's definitely worth somebody's while to go to the website and look up some of these dealers around them.
We need trucks. We buy trucks. We might as well get as much out of that truck as we possibly can, not just in performance in the field. Frankly, we let the manufacturers duke that out. But in return on investment, we want to be able to measure that. And with AgPak, you can measure return on investment through this.
Definitely worth your while to check out the Certified Ag Dealers program and some of the deals you might be able to get by participating. Let's move next to the crop side. There are several companies out there with corn seed, of course, and my stop at this year's virtual convention happened to be with Mitch Heisler with Wiffles. Our conversation certainly touches on their brand, but much more, with a look at conditions we saw in 2020 and what we can take away for 2021.
Mitch Heisler is brand marketing manager for Wiffles. And Mitch, you know, we've got the harvest pretty well wrapped up this year. Looking back at the 2020 season, what do you see in the fields that you looked at?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think sometimes you go through a year like we did, and it's hard to wonder if there's really anything we can take away from it. But I think there is. I think every year there's a few things that we can really take away. I think, you know, this year, there were a lot of places where we really were able to see some differences in the type of management that was done. And you can kind of split our marketing area in half, you know, so east of the Mississippi and west of the Mississippi. If you were, you know, west in Iowa and parts of Minnesota and South Dakota, you know, we had some areas that did see some pretty significant drought, to the point where you could even see big swings even from one side of the field or one part of the field to the other. And I think what that did is it kind of just magnified any situations where we were struggling to put together a good root system, or, you know, if we had any challenges early in the season, that really just kind of magnified, especially when we got into that August timeframe where it was really dry and we really turned up the heat at the end of August. The hybrids or the fields that were kind of on the brink at the end of August, I think that heat at the end really just kind of finished them off. But anything that was able to kind of fight through that, we did get some relief in September. and some rain and some cooler temperatures that really added to grain fill. So, you know, I guess just going back, I think one big takeaway is just the importance of, you know, making sure we limit compaction, making sure we do what we can to manage residue, especially in those corn on corn situations. Certainly was great to keep the competition down in the fields of weed management. Those all, you know, are things that we don't ignore ever, but I think this year they really brought them to the surface. And then just quickly, you know, on the east side, if you look at Illinois and even parts of Wisconsin, we were really fighting a tough spring where we had really wet, tough planting conditions, even, you know, a lot of replant that happened in that part of our geography. And I think even in some of the fields where we didn't go in and replant, I mean, it didn't justify it at the time. And I think it was probably still the right decision. We did have lower ear counts, even in some of those fields that maybe weren't, they weren't a bad overall stand at planting time. We did just knock down a little bit on our ear count, and that in the end translates to just taking some of the top end off of our yield potential. But I mean, overall, I think everybody was happy with how hybrids were able to kind of fight through some of the stress we had. And there were certainly surprises, but overall, I think it just kind of pointed to some of those key management practices, and it really separated those out this year.
I know you've also been taking a close look at rootworms. What did you see this year?
Yeah, so we've had a pretty concerted effort to monitor corn rootworm beetle populations really for the last 6-7 years. You know, we look at it as, you know, it is still the number one pest in corn production, and it's not going away. Might be changing year to year. So we think it's important to make sure we monitor that and really can help our customers get a feel for what the population is year to year so that they can take that into consideration as they're making hybrid decisions for 2021. This year, I think, again, you really kind of break it into two environments. If we look at the soybean fields that we monitored and the first year corn fields that we monitored, we really didn't see a lot of change in corn rootworm beetle populations. It was still pretty low, very similar to what it was last year. And so our management recommendations aren't changing there. We, you know, we've still got customers that are using a double pro, and in some cases a double pro or a non-GMO with an insecticide, soil applied insecticide. We still think that's a good recommendation on those acres. But if you switch and look at the corn on corn fields, 3+ years of corn, that's where we really did see a big increase in population this year. You know, in some places we had more than double the percent of fields that we monitored that were above, at or above threshold for those continuous corn acres. So I think our takeaway is, you know, we're getting to a point where we're getting high enough populations where we've had multiple years of corn on corn that we can't just rely on traits alone in every case. And if nothing else, we need to make sure we're asking more questions. And I think ultimately it just calls out that it's even more important for us and our customers to be keeping an eye on what the population is in their specific field so that they're, you know, armed with the information they need to make sure they're not putting themselves, you know, in a situation with higher risk of corn rootworm damage.
So based on everything you saw this year, what things do producers need to keep in mind as they go to 2021?
Yeah, so, you know, I think if you look at the first year corn fields, or if you're in a rotation, I think we're still in a position where, you know, still good to keep a monitor on that population, but we don't need to make big changes to our management there. I think we can still look at a double pro or a non-GMO. And then if you're in an area where you're going into maybe second year corn, we certainly want to recommend a soil applied insecticide on those acres. Again, this is a pest that's very local. So you might know that you're in an area where just haven't had good luck with that, we certainly encourage you to take your local area into consideration. But in corn on corn fields, I mean, I think we are some situations where we've had high pressure. Maybe we even saw some damage this year from corn rootworm, where we might need to consider rotating to soybeans, even if you've been in a long-term corn on corn situation, just to break that cycle and reduce that population. I think we just know that if we get to a certain level with corn rootworm population, we're not going to be able to control them with just traits alone. And so we need to look at, do we need to rotate to a non-host crop like soybeans? Maybe controlling beetles next summer, that becomes a challenge because we don't think you can do that with just one application. So, I mean, I think the big thing is we've got some resources actually on our website at wiffles.com where you can go and we have the results of our monitoring program posted there so you can view them and actually zoom in on the map for your area. And then we've also got our management recommendations there for you to look at. But I mean, I think this is definitely one of those that there is no formula that you can 100% follow. And so, you know, our Wiffle seed representatives are definitely, you know, the ones that are keeping a big eye on this in their area and are really our best resource that we're directing customers to because they know the local situation. And then they can take the time to sit down and really understand that customer's, what the situation is, the population in their fields to help them, you know, guide through that decision.
Other things you want people to know about Wiffles heading into next year?
Yeah, well, one thing that we're certainly very excited about is we're celebrating our 75th year in business. So, you know, Wiffles Hybrids is family-owned independent company, still owned, operated today by the third generation of the Wiffles family. And, you know, 2021 will be our 75th planting season. And I think it's just a reminder or, you know, obviously a milestone like that's it's fun to celebrate and talk about, but it's really good, a reminder to us of, you know, what got us here. And a lot of that is staying true to what we think are important, and that's focusing on what we do well, you know, not trying to you know, just expand and take over, but really focusing in on knowing that we have products that work well in a certain geography. And then I think, too, just being customer focused. We know that we're not where we're at today, and we're not going to be able to get where we want to go without our customers and them being successful. And it's really what drives a lot of what we do at Wiffles. And we, you know, we see no reason to change that. It's helped us get where we are today.
From putting seed in the ground, we go to putting that crop in the bin, which leads me to John Lawrence with AGI SureTrack. We discuss some of the latest news in grain storage.
John Lawrence, District Sales Manager with AGI SureTrack, joins me. John, thank you for the time. And first of all, for those who aren't familiar, just talk about AGI SureTrack. What is it that you do?
Well, AGI SureTrack, Andrew, is we are one of the brands of AGI. The SureTrack is the bin management. We have a full platform. The product line is Bin Manager. We're monitoring the temperature and moisture in bin and managing the air. When Mother Nature gives us the right air to accomplish our goal, we're going to interface the fans and turn those on.
So, you know, bin management has certainly been around for a while, but what are you seeing right now in the marketplace as far as new things you're bringing to the field, and what is it that producers are wanting from a bin management system?
You know, Andrew, it really is trying to connect the marketing chain or blockchain to an end user. You know, whether you're a feedlot or you're producing a food that's going on a grocery store shelf, the customers are wanting that assurance, that data, that grain was stored in the proper condition. It's the proper moistures, the proper temperatures, and was stored and safe throughout the storage. And so the data that lives with that grain is of huge interest to an end user.
I'm sure it's not only the data, but because of the data, you're helping those that are storing the grain to be able to know how they need to handle that grain as well. I'm sure that's probably where all this starts.
Right, and that's exactly right. The bin manager is an automated system. So what we're doing is when Mother Nature gives us the right air to accomplish our goal, whether we're drying corn down in a bin or hydrating soybeans in a bin, when she gives us the right air, we're going to turn the fans on to condition it to that moisture level and keep it safe and fresh. But yeah, the connecting to the market, I think, is the big push right now. It's the item that we're all looking for. You know, I've talked to several of my customers here recently that are asking me, you know, what would be the unique product? I don't want to necessarily out-corn my corn neighbors. What exactly do you see coming, or what markets do you know that are out there? And because of our interaction with the marketplace, on our strategic side, we're talking to end users on what their wants and wishes are for grains. and connecting our farm customers with them as well.
With what you have, is this something that is easily adaptable to bins that I already have, or is it mostly going into new construction, or what do you find with your customers?
Yeah, you know, Andrew, I always say my system doesn't care whose steel it's on, okay? I don't care whose fan I'm connected to. Right now, AGI has a tremendous product of bins and fans, but the bin manager system can be retrofitted to an existing bin, can be installed on a new bin, new fan, old fan, what have you. We're simply taking the science and applying it to the grain inside the bin.
Very good. How do folks find out more if they want to learn more about the system and what you do?
Very easy, www.agisuretrack.com. And there is a tab there if they're not familiar with their local sales rep or district manager. Find my manager, find my salesperson, type in your zip code, and we'll provide you their name and number, and you can get connected that way.
I hope you enjoyed this quick tour of some of the latest news in the ag marketplace from the 2020 Trade Talk. Hope you found some interesting info that you can put to use. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you next time on Farming the Countryside. The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, whether or not. Learn more at pivotbio.com.